It's time now to gather round for the Expounder Ministries radio Bible teaching program, Walking in Simplicity, with your host, Brother Stephen Milhorn. Brother Stephen, an ordained minister of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, welcomes you to a time of prayer and ministry of the Word. At the close of today's program, an address will be given to contact Brother Stephen. And now, let's seek the Lord for a taste of that wonderful manna that can only come from God's Holy Scriptures.
Yes, hallelujah. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to the Son of God, Yeshua. Glory to the Holy Spirit. Peace on earth, goodwill from God the Father to men. Peace on earth from the Lord Jesus Christ to those who are saved. Glory to your name, Holy Father. We magnify you. We thank you for the resurrection of Jesus. We thank you for the life of Jesus and his substitutionary offering that he gave to you for us to redeem our miserable souls, our sinful souls, and to all those who believe in him and who receive his life in their body, inside their spirit, and are born again of him, a spiritual transformation. For all those who do this, God imputes unto you the righteousness of his only begotten Son, the Word of God, Jesus, and upon that transformation, you have the promise of eternal life and heaven and never die and you'll bypass hell. That is good news, my beloved. That is good news. And then upon this transformation, it is recommended and even commanded in the Word of God not to forsake the assembling of yourselves as the manner of some is, and you need to join a local church, be it a house church, be it a 12 or 50 member church or a 100 member church or a mega church. It doesn't matter. Just follow God's word, be led of the Holy Spirit, and live the life of Jesus Christ that he wants to live in your life. His expression of godliness, him in you to this world. Hallelujah. Welcome, my beloved brothers and sisters, to the Walking in Simplicity program. This is your host, Brother Stephen, and today I would like to look at some chapters in the book of Revelation and how there is a warning to the churches of God in chapters 2 and 3. The Apostle John sets it up in chapter 1, and we shall see the importance of what God deems important, what God judges as good and right, and also what he judges as wrong and something to be avoided, behaviors to be avoided. Now, these seven churches are written down. They are named by name in the first and second chapter of Revelation. But before we get on to that, I would like to extend to you a message about how you can contact me. You can either write at P.O. Box 1383, Rowlett, Texas, 75030, or you can call the Ministry Prayer Line, which is also cell phone, 214-549-8587, or, of course, email at expounderministries@netzero.net, or go to the website of www.expounderministries.com. Thank you very much for doing that and checking out the webpage. Now, I would also like to say that it is quite evident and quite obvious that we are living in the last days. Those days right before the Great Tribulation, those days before the catching away of the saints, those days before the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life, died on the cross in obedience to the Father, rose again from the dead, and is seated at the right hand of God the Father, forever living, making intercession for us and all who believe in him and who receive him into their spirits, can be saved, will be saved, should be saved. Hallelujah. But there is all things not according to godliness in this world. We see that there are certain types of churches, certain behaviors in churches, And once you are born again, once you do receive God, then you are commanded, you are encouraged to join a local fellowship, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves as the manner of some is, but we join house churches, small churches, medium-sized churches, and large mega-churches. We do this because we are called to gather as the body of Christ to share in the preaching of the word, the laying on of hands, the receiving of communion, and the confessing faults one to another, and helping one another. These things we do on our spiritual journey in God. And as we do these things, we become a type of believer, we become a type of church, and many of these churches are given as an example in the book of Revelations chapter 2 and 3, which we'll examine today if we have time. But I do want to say that there's many voices in the world today, many prophetic voices. Some are claiming certain words from God out of the Bible, and some are claiming certain words as fresh revelation from God concerning the end times and how things are going to wrap up. Namely, as in chapter 18 of Revelation, which many believe is either New York City or America. Many also believe in the prophetic world that everything revolves around Yisrael and how they are faring and how the world treats them. And since there are three major powers in the world, Soviet Russia and China and America, that something has to give in order for all the things in Revelation to the nation of Israel, not the state, but the nation of Israel. And so many people believe in the prophetic world that America should be and will be the first to fall, according to Revelation 18, and that because of the wickedness that America is doing, exporting her fornication and drunkenness and witchcraft and the blood of abortion throughout the world, then God is going to, as like he did Babylon, judge America, and in one day, using the missiles of China and Russia, will smite America, and it will be a wasteland, and it will be a place of great woe. This would leave then the only powers to be, which would be the EU and or Russia, along with Red China, Communist China, the dragon. And we see in Revelation that China comes in full force, the kings of the East, towards Israel to destroy her. So in other words, China is pagan and as godless and as communist as they are, will survive. And even if America goes to war with Taiwan, China will survive as a nation and will be a great force at the end. We know also from Scripture that Russia will have a hook put in its mouth, and Soviet Russia will come down and try to destroy Israel, and God will destroy Russia. So America is first to go, according to modern-day prophets, then Russia, and then China. Of course, the EU will survive all that, out of which will come the Antichrist, out of which will come the persecution of the Jews, out of which the tribulation will begin, plus the mark of the beast and the Antichrist. These are all the things that are being spoken of by nowaday prophets, and I find it very interesting about this scenario. I have not fully formed an opinion on it, but that's as good as any that I've heard. But as far as today's message goes, we want to examine the seven kinds of churches that are mentioned in the book of Revelation, and as we do, we want to especially focus on God's rewards and God's judgments within them, because it is something that, like the scholars of old, believe that the seven churches in Revelation also, in a type and shadow, reveal the seven kinds of believers or the seven kinds of churches that will be throughout Christendom. And it is something to at least study to see if we are operating in these things, whether good or bad. In Revelation 1, verse 9 and onward, John sets this up. And I'll just read, and then we'll also review some scriptures. Revelation 1, verse 9 and onward proclaim, I, John, talking about the Apostle John, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Now these are the seven churches that God has revealed to the Apostle John, and we're going to take a look at God's warnings, his judgments, and his commendations, because there's good and bad in all of it, and there's warnings. Chapter 2 of Revelation begins with the church of Ephesus. He talks, "Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Now in this particular passage, he's judging the church of Ephesus, and he marks out how they're doing good labors, good works, has patience, is trying to be good and faithful in many things, but yet in their busyness and in their works, they have forgotten their first love, Jesus Christ, gone away from abiding in the presence of God and loving him through worship and speaking out to God in prayer and loving him, and they're just encumbered with busyness and works. You are commanded of God to love him with all of your heart, all of your soul and heart. And whatever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord, yea, knowing that the Lord of the Lord, you shall receive the inheritance and the reward because you serve Jesus Christ. But if you forget the first and greatest commandment, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. If you forget this, then what is the rest of it? Is it not wood, hay, and stubble? Now, as he goes on to the next church, and he judges the church of Smyrna by saying, "These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works, and tribulation, and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, that ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death." Now, there's very little criticism, if any, in this particular passage. The church of Smyrna was enjoying the tribulation and poverty that they were in because they were doing the things of God right, and they were punished for it by the world, the flesh, and the devil. But yet they chose the riches of Jesus Christ and the suffering, the tribulation of his name, and the poverty from the God of this world to do it right, and they are rewarded by God. They are faithful unto death. They give to the poor. They're selfless. They're giving. They're serving. They serve the widows and homeless and missions. They suffer in tribulation. They suffer in the workplace. And yet their poverty in the outward man is called riches by God's perspective. What a glorious thing that is in comparison to Ephesus, which is busy going about doing works and leaving their first love. Oh, my beloved brothers and sisters, let us take a lesson from these churches that God has judged in the book of Revelation. These seven physical church locations, but yet do they not speak to us nowadays of what kind of churches there are in the world today? Now he goes on and sends the angel to talk about the church in Pergamos. "These things saith he, which have the sharp sword with two edges, I know thy works and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelleth. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saveth he that receiveth it. Now, in this particular church of Pergamos, we see that there's faithfulness, there is holding fast his name, there is doing good things that way, but within the church house, the leadership is allowing the doctrine of Balaam to come in, which is spiritual idolatry, spiritual wickedness, spiritual covetousness, which was very bad, plus idol worship and fornication, and the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. These things God hates, and the leadership of that church allowed these things in and would not repent. God will fight against this with the sword of his mouth, which is his word. And you that have an ear to hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches, overcome it, and he will give you the hidden manna and a new name in a white stone. How glorious is this? The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:21 was rebuking some of the believers over there in like manner as this is speaking of the church of Pergamos. He says, "And lest when I come again, my God will humble me among you, and that I shall bewail many which have sinned already, and have not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed." So in the Corinthians church especially, you know, Paul beheld and bore witness to a lot of fleshly sins, a lot of fornication and adultery and uncleanness and spiritual idolatry, similar to this of Pergamos. There is a call to be clean, holy, to overcome these things, and don't live in this way. God will judge these things. What kind of churches today do we see this kind of behavior in? Some churches are liturgical, some churches are dead, some churches just do Bible only, no Spirit. Some churches do Spirit only and no Word. It's just amazing what kind of churches we have. Where can we find a balanced church who preaches the Word of God, who preaches salvation through Jesus, who preaches the anointing of the Holy Ghost and the laying on of hands and the workings of the Holy Ghost and the miracles of Jesus? Where can we not find a church like this? Oh, dear God, help us. As we go on to the church in Thyatira, "These things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. And behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds." Now, what we're seeing here, and I'm of the Pentecostal, you know, denominational faith, and I find that to be the best for me, and really the best in general, but there's many things that the Pentecostals do that I would that they would not do. And many times there's a clash between the Baptists and the Pentecostals, because the Baptists are paramount with the Word and salvation every week, and the Pentecostals have gone unto perfection, but while they do that, they forget the Word, and they fall into licentious behavior a lot of times. This is something that needs to be changed and fixed and corrected, and God will judge these things. And so this is something very, 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 very crucial, to be holy, to be clean, and not to allow spiritual or physical fornication or idolatry into the churches, as was in the case of Thyatira. Glory to God in the highest. And verse 26 goes on to say, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers. Even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." As we move on to the church of Sardis, "These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars, I know thy works, and hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, which are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now, here we see it. In the church of Sardis, we see not much mentioned except for a general lethargic, possibly a liturgical, systematic church of form, pomp, and circumstance, and this kind of stuff, with very little life flow, very little spiritual dynamic, and they are losing the things of the Spirit, and they are dead churches. And so God brings warning here to them that they once had received and heard the truth, and they're not holding fast, they're not watching. And God, seeing that they are defiling their garments, are giving them a warning here, saying, keep your garments white, keep your walk right, or I will not blot you out of the book of life. Many of the once saved, always saved Baptist people think that, you know, once saved, always saved. But here, and in chapter 22 of Revelation, God says, I will not blot out your name from the book of life, which means it has to be possible for him to even say this. It has to be at least possible for God to blot out someone's name out of the book of life if he says, I will not blot it out, but I will confess. That means it's possible. Also, in the chapter 22 of Revelation, it says, if you take away from the prophecy of this book, I will take away your portion out of the holy city and out of the book of life. That means it's possible for him to take it away. So do not be so swollen up with pride about once you're born again, then you have it. No matter what you do, you can have it. But moving on, we see here in Sardis that they are cold, liturgical, dead churches with form and little substance, and he gives great warning to them. Moving on to the church of Philadelphia, we see that the church, the angel writes, has him write, these things saith he that is holy, that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Moving on down to verse 12, he that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven, and from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. What is going on in the church of Philadelphia? Somewhat good, probably all good in this case. And God is pleased, and the rewards are abundant. His name will be written on you. You'll be made a pillar. You have survived and kept the word of God, his patience, in the hour of temptation. Glory to God for those who are doing it right, like Smyrna and Philadelphia. But what about the Laodiceans? These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest thou not, thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked? I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. And as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore, and repent. Now, my beloved brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. America as a whole has some pockets of revival. It has some churches that are on fire. It has some churches that are Spirit-led. There are individual believers that are intercessors. There are fasters. There are prayers. There are worshipers. But then there is a lollipop church There is a liturgical church that is dead and it just has form. And there is the fat church in America that thinks itself well-groomed and well and rich and have no need of God or anything because they have money increased with goods. And God calls them wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And he counsels to buy gold. He counsels to buy raiment, white raiment that are clean. He counsels to buy and get eye salve that you may see. Because he loves you, he rebukes and chastens. And he says, be zealous if you are behaving this way, and repent. He stands at the door of your heart, and he knocks, and he speaks. And if you open the door, he will come in to you, and sup with you, and you with him. But if you do not, then he will spew you out of his mouth. For he alone is the judge, he alone is God, and he does not want you to be lukewarm, sitting in the pew, and just listening to a 15-minute homily and singing a couple of verses out of a psalm book and showing up when you want to and all this other kind of stuff and be lame. And most of those church people that do that are not even born again of his spirit. He wants you on fire. He wants you hot. He wants you like John the Baptist, like Peter, like Paul. And he wants you loving like John. But he wants the image of Jesus Christ foremost all born in your heart. And let you be fully born of his spirit with him inside, a physical transformation, his spirit in your actual body, he in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah, that's the mystery of the Gentiles. Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. So my beloved brothers and sisters, as we conclude, let us get rid of the pride and arrogancy of a rich, lukewarm church. Let us not convulse God where he would spew us out of his mouth and unleash all the judgments that are coming first to the believers and then to the world. If the righteous scarcely are saved, what happens to the unbelievers and those who do not follow Jesus? My beloved brothers and sisters, take a lesson from these seven churches in the book of Revelation as we see the final days of this earth winding down, as we see the spirit of Antichrist coming forth, especially in America, where they're trying to make it illegal even to have God on your lips. We must resist the spirit of Antichrist. God bless you. Contact me for prayer or for ministry or for biblical advice or just for a pen pal or a email online IM buddy, whatever. God bless you, my beloved, and mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the broadcast today. If you'd like prayer or more information about today's program, you may write, call, or email Brother Stephen. Write to Expounder Ministries, Post Office Box 1383, Rowlett, Texas, 75030, USA.